the Tnim, and the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, when it comes to that issue, again, that's an issue that is brought into very sharp focus by the fact that there might be opportunities outside of Yom Kippur, right, to be Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim, as we discussed, maybe with the personality of Aaron HaKohen or the Tekufa of Aaron HaKohen, and what about the future, all the things that we, what about Moshe Rabbeinu, the things that we discussed. So, but just to make one thing clear, and that is that there are those, again, it's tempting to say that they're just, again, I think there are three, we'll say this way, approaches that one could take in all of this. One is to say that there are two dinim. There's a din of, Knisa v'Yom Kippur, that's part of the Avoda, and then there's something else, and that is the potential of, let's say, Aaron HaKohen, or maybe Elazar HaKohen, or Moshe Rabbeinu, or whatever it was, or what could have been, had it not been for, Misas Shnei Bano Shel Aaron, an intriguing idea that they somehow, contributed to Al Yavo B'Choleis El HaKodesh. Again, we compared it to Hareini Noz Kvodecha. The point is that there could, in theory, there could just be two completely different dinim. And if you say there are completely two different dinim, then I'm always troubled in these things by the lack of a separate makar. But seemingly, either you can not be troubled by that. There are plenty of other people methodologically who say these things all the time, including, in the world of Brisk, without a separate makar. Always, in my opinion, works much better with a makar. With a separate makar. Again, if there's a common denominator, that allows something to apply to two different dinim, that's a different story. That probably doesn't need, in other words, you could say that, this particular expression, whatever it is, or this particular kiyum, here we're talking about knisa lefnai v'lefnim, but it could be other things as well, has something in common, in the two applications or the multiple applications, but the applications in turn transform it and so on. Then you wouldn't need two makoros. But if we're talking about two different, the more that we're dealing with two different dinim, the more I would expect that there should be a requirement of two different makoros. However, having said that, sometimes one pasuk or one makar can have two meanings that we find often, just like Avlav Shebeklalos, and other such thing, or what I call intentional ambiguities, when they aren't just intended to convey certain lumdus, but they're maybe intended to convey, in a more versatile way, a certain application. And here, certainly, again, going back to the Gra for a minute, the diukim of the Gra, and the difference between Torah Shebeksav and Torah Shebeapeh, that certainly is even more than ambiguity. You could say that those really are two makoros, and also they break down in terms of some of the details of their application. So it is certainly possible to say that there are two different dinim. One is the din per se of knisa lefnai v'lefnim, and the other is knisa lefnai v'lefnim, as something that is integrated into, or just maybe a necessary requirement of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Again, the right. The other possibility is that again, we're just dealing with the, also explain why you don't necessarily have two dinim. This is a question that you want to raise, and that is if there's one halacha, right? But what is the nature of that particular halacha? So, if it's just knisa lefnai v'lefnim, but there are different goals, so then you might come to the conclusion, and that's a little bit kind of what the Kli Chemda was saying, that a lot of the dinim that are connected with knisa lefnai v'lefnim are just the matir of getting there or allowing, for that. What you accomplish at the end of that process, or what role it plays in a particular process, that's a different story entirely. If you were to take that view, then you might even come to the conclusion that the knisa lefnai v'lefnim in Yom Kippur isn't a goal, or it's not an objective, it's not a kiyum, it's a hechsher. In other words, there are certain things you need to do lifnai v'lifnim. Let's say, ki ba'anan e'ra'eh ala kaporis. So then, again, this is hashkafically also very important, and for sure in terms of the lambdas, it's not that ki ba'anan e'ra'eh ala kaporis, you know, is kind of the climax of k'nisa lifnai v'lifnim, or even a separate, you know, point. Does the k'nisa lifnai v'lifnim is not a goal in its own right, it's just that you've got to be there in order to accomplish, you know, the k'nisa lifnai v'lifnim is necessary for kiba anan era ala kaporas, to do the k'toras lifnai v'lifnim properly, or, and, you know, even the hazos of the dama par and the dama sire, which also requires that you be nichnas, you know, lifnim. So then, the idea of lo b'chaleis, you know, that you're not allowed to do this, or when you're allowed to do it, but it serves a much more, you know, functional, you know, kind of a goal. What you might say is, if there's a separate point to it and you don't necessarily do these other avodo, is it also functional when Aaron HaKohen goes as himself, or is that, you know, a goal or purpose? But my own personal instinct, for what it's worth, is that even according to the view that Aaron is separate, or maybe it would have been any Kohen Gadol Me'ula, or maybe it's a Din of Tachas Aaron, whichever it is, that it's much better to think that these aren't two different dinim, but that it's one halacha. And that the point is that K'nisa Lefnai V'Lefnim, again, isn't just a hechsher to accomplish, you know, avodos pnim, but that it is a goal, and that on the contrary, some of the avodos, kind of pushes the question in the other direction, some of the avodos are separately dinim bifnei atzmam and goals, maybe also related to the fact that that's, you know, where you are, or that they're just expressions of being lifnai v'lifnim, but that the real makayev is lifnai v'lifnim. In other words, what I prefer to think, which doesn't make it so, is that the first words associated with the avoda, you know, is the warning of, you know, Shnei Bnei Aaron, and the, you know, upfront emphasis that this is, you know, what you need, where you need to go, and what you need to do to prepare. Bezos Yavo Aaron, etc., establish that K'nisa Lefnai V'Lefnim is an objective, or maybe the objective. Again, I think connected with, or, you know, parallel to ki ba'anan era ela kaparas, and so on. In which case, the idea that, you know, that you do that on Yom Kippur, and also maybe Aaron HaKohen could do it on in his own right, end up being not so much two different dinim. Again, there still might be technical differences, but it's not that in one case that's the goal. And in the other case, this is just where you need to be, and it's the matir, so you can do other things. In both cases, this is a kind of, you know, kiruv, a legitimate kiruv, not the bikravaya kadesh, but bikarvam el Hashem velo yamusu. This is kind of the goal, and just, you know, Yom Kippur, it's a goal based on the opportunities, you know, and the special symbolic and other sanctity of the Kedushas HaZman. And in other cases, it has to do with the Kedushas HaGavra and whatever the goal, you know, would be at that particular point. So that is, that's what I mean when I say there aren't necessarily two different dinim. You still would have to contend with the question, just to make it clear, you know, what are the technical differences? So here, obviously, the more you think that we're dealing with two different, you know, types of experiences, you know, with two different objectives and goals, the more radically different they are, the more you would expect that that would reflect itself in the differences of the details. That seems like a very reasonable correlation. At the same time, I think it's also reasonable to expect that even if it's one din, right, that there would be compensation for and discrepancies due to, you know, technically the differences. That's if one is, you know, because of the Kedushas Hayom or the Slicha Mechila or the stakes or whatever it is, and the other, you know, is due to, you know, the personal odyssey of the Kohen Gadol, of Aharon HaKohen, or Aharon HaKohen on behalf of Klal Yisrael for an emergency, but bereft of or separate from the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, whatever the case may be, you would expect that there would be some discrepancies. Just that, I guess, in the more neutral areas, you would expect that there would be more features in Kop. So that's kind of what we were discussing. What about Musafin? What about Begadim? You know, what about Tevila and Kiddushe? How many and when? What about Moshe? What about Bnei Aaron? What about Elazar? You know, etc. And then Eliot's question, what about Yom HaTzom, which you could also add, and what about Isser Malacha? And by the way, the Yom HaTzom came from, we'll discuss that more in a minute, I don't know if I clarified this last time, from the language of the Rambam and the Diuk that I like to make, and that is that the Rambam's first words in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, seemingly, you know, unexpected, are B'Yom HaTzom. Because you could have thought, just in case I didn't make that clear, he was asking me based on, you know, having heard or having discussed it with me previously, and that is that you could have said that the dinim of Hilchos Shvi'is Asar of Yom Kippur, the dinim of Avodas Yom Kippurim, are totally separate. These are separate, you know, kiyumim. They don't really overlap at all. By saying the words B'Yom HaTzom, you know, clearly the Rambam integrates them. And I think there's evidence that way in the Avodah itself, especially the idea, and this is something that the Rav used to speak about in the name of his father, the idea that, you know, the Ish-Iti could have broken his fast if he needed to, without Exeru Zakasu, you know, saying that that is the case, meaning that somehow the Avodah and the Tzom, and possibly, in my opinion, once that is true, the Tzom, there's evidence that the Tzom and the Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur, the Dinam of Malacha on Yom Kippur, are two sides of the same coin. And for the in the Rambam in particular, I think the whole Shvisas Asar, the language and everything else about it, you know, points in that direction. And at the same time, then you have now both in that one word or two words, but, you know, where they're strategically placed, as well as other evidence, you know, the idea that that the Tzom and the Avoda are two sides of the same coin. So by extension, the Tzom, the extended Isser Malacha, and the Avoda on Yom Kippur, of course, again, they, you know, can be separated from each other, as we know. But when all are done, you know, they are kiyumim that are interconnected. What is that interconnection? Clearly has to do with a yom, or as Ram says, yom keit slicho mechila liyachid olarabim. But I think even more, or in its capacity, you know, to accomplish that, and again, this idea of a yom of kulo lashem, which is expressed in the tzom, expressed in the full Isser Malacha, including they're not being hetero nefesh, but also expressed in the totality of the avoda, and, you know, beginning with, you know, Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh, the idea that the Knesset isn't just a hechsher to be there because it's the place, the venue where you do the other things, but that on the contrary, it's a din in its own right, and maybe that the other things are just expressions, the way that you further reinforce your presence there or add to it, not only so it isn't to be a reikonis, but much more than that. Okay, so that is what I just wanted to clarify, because I think this is a really interesting question, and that is, let me say separately, even if there were no medrash that everybody was taking so seriously, in which the Achronim, which said that, you know, beyond Yom Kippur there could be, for Aharon HaKohen at least, you know, another Knesset Lefnai Belefnim, even that didn't exist, we would have to raise these questions. Namely, whether Knesset Lefnai Belefnim, you know, is a goal or a hechsher, and what is it, you know, exactly related to? Certainly, what is its connection to Misas B'nai Aharon, you know, whether, you know, the limitation applies to Moshe Rabbeinu, et cetera, et cetera. So that, just to clarify that. Having said all of that, it's fascinating to note just a line in the Gemara. Where the Gemara originally, these Gemaras in the beginning, right? These Gemaras in the beginning are in view of the Shach and Tari are just fascinating. And we don't have so much time, so we're using the first 10 daf mostly, but we're a little time to appreciate the details. But when the Gemara originally wants to know about Prisha, Shivas Yamim, right, the Mishnah says, Shivas Yamim Kodim Yom Kippur, Mafrishim Kai Gadli Beisko, and so on. So the Gemara, on the bottom of Beis Amar Aleph, discusses where we get that from, you know, Hanimili, right? And whether we learn it out from Paraduma, or we learn it out from the Miluim, what exactly is the Makar, in other words? And, learning out from, you know, the Paraduma is fascinating. Learning out from the Miluim, in a way, is even more fascinating, because one could, again, make the case, given what I've been trying to push here, and that's that the Miluim is all about establishing the avoda of the kahuna, and especially the avoda of the Kohen Gadol. It's all about the, you know, the minui, basically, of the initiation of a certain level of avoda, and, you know, and the, in particular, the institutions of Kohen Hedja, but especially of Kohuna Gadola. So, to the extent that Avodas Yom HaKippurim learns dinim from the Miluim, that is very suggestive. Okay. Anyways, the Gemara, when it's discussing that that issue, the Gemara says, how do you know you should learn from there? Right? Maybe you should learn from all sorts of other, the Chagim, and so on and so forth. So there's a terrific line that's relevant to this Medrash view, especially since it is adopted by all these achronim as being consistent with the Shach LeMitari of the Gemara, certainly not being opposed to it. And that is, the Gemara says, 1 second. Oh. Here's on Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara at one point says, V'ikata Amri, Amr Avina, Danin Avoda Tchila, Me'avoda Tchila, Vafukehani Delav Tchila Ninu. Okay, the Gemara says, don't learn from any of the Chagim. You can only learn from the Miluim, because the Miluim was a Tchila, just like this is a Tchila. Oh. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? My Tchila. Ilay matchila b'koin gadol, right? Hainu kemaisa. Earlier, the Gemara says that we should learn out from the Miluim, the din of Prisha, right? Because donin avoda b'koin gadol mi avoda b'koin gadol lafuke kulu kushasa delav avoda b'koin gadol minu. We should learn out from the Miluim because that's a din in koin gadol. Okay, again, one of the reasons that the Miluim, it's not just, it's the status and stature of the Kohen Gadol is what I was saying before, even more so, but of course it's in Kohen Gadol. So what do we mean Tchila? Tchila means the first avoda of Kohen Gadol. What does it mean? So again, Tchila b'Kohen Gadol, Rashi says, Don in Yom HaKippurim, Shehi avoda rishona shehutla b'Kohen Gadol b'Karbanos Tzibur. Get back to this. We talk about Karbanos Tzibur. Yom HaKippurim HaRishon Me'avoda Shmini LeMiluim She'avoda Rishona Shanasa Saidei Kohen Gadol Me'ola. Okay, so that we said already, so it can't be that. Ella Avoda Tchila B'Makom Me'avoda Tchila B'Makom. Okay, that's a line in the Gemara. What does Avoda Tchila B'Makom mean? If it doesn't mean Kohen Gadol, what does it mean? So Rashi says, Yom HaKippurim Yesh Lo Avoda Lefnai B'Lefnim Sheb Yom HaKippurim HaRishon Hoysa Tchila B'Mokom Shekodem V'chein Lo Nichnas Adam Sham La'avoda. The Yom Shmini Limiluim Ha'isa Avoda Tchila B'mizbeach Achitza. And then he adds, of course, famously, Vim B'shul Shishim Eshmosha Kol Shivetzim Me'am Mimuim Enkri Avoda Etzol Avodas Kohanim Shehu B'levush Bigdei Kahuna V'shamosha B'chaluk Lavan Shlo Hukshar L'sha. The question, which we're not going to deal with now, and that is, to what extent is Moshe Rabbeinu's whatever you want to call it, that's part of the question. His being Shamesh, or his Kahuna Gadola, or his co-Kahuna Gadola, or his initial Kahuna Gadola, right? What is the relationship between that and the Kohen Gadol of the Kahuna Gadola of Aaron, Ubanav, Bibagad. But the main point I want to make is that this Gemara makes it clear that the Mokom Tchila was Yom Kippur. So again, if you think that Al Yavah B'chol Eisel HaKodesh is applicable across the board, then that's kind of obvious. Right? It's the one and the only. But if you hold it's a din, that really the din is a din in either Yom Kippur or Aaron HaKohen, right? So then it may be historically true that the first Knisa Lefnei HaLefnim was on Yom Kippur, and maybe that's enough for the Gemara. But I would think, especially if there really were, two dinim, I would think that, let me say it this way, if there were two dinim, or if the Ikar din was a din in, Malas HaKohen, and, just that every, you get that artificially, every Yom Kippur with any Kohen, but really, 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 it's always a din in just the mammon of the Kohen himself. So then all I'm trying to say is, either the Kohen going, either Yom HaKippur is a second halacha, or maybe even a secondary halacha, right? An application, not the yesod or the mechayev. And that becomes very difficult according to this Gemara. But if you suggest what I'm saying, which is, that even if you hold that there are two applications of this, that basically either the Yom Kippur part is the driving force, or l'shitasi, the status of the Kohen Gadol, and converges kind of with the day of Yom Kippur, both for his Kahuna Gadola and for what they share in common, and basically, again, notwithstanding some technical differences, which are understandable, right? In the end of the day, it's kind of one halacha. So then the fact that it's tchila b'makom, it really is a din in Yom Kippur, or it's a din in Kohen Gadol, which means it's a din in Yom Kippur, right? Even in this way. Again, just to contrast it with, let's say, Kli Chemda, who I like very much. I like that some of the dinim are dinim and matir and so on. But what he was really trying to say is, either two dinim or that the ikar din, when you had a kohen meula enough, is it's a din and hour of kohen, and Nebuch, the other kohanim, they can only do this on Yom Kippur, but it isn't really a din in Yom Kippur at all, right? He was saying ad kedei kach that the tzumah shel yom b'chaper doesn't apply to these dinim because it's the bigger reality is the hour of kohen part. I'm trying to say the bigger reality may be the Aaron HaKohen part, but that's because that integrates and converges with the Yom Kippur part. That's a very different perspective. So he, I think, I don't have the luxury of asking him the question, but I think he would have difficulty, unless he would just say, well, historically it's so, and therefore it's part of a limud, and end of story. But as a mechayiv, as a lumdisha line in the Gemara, right, this becomes an important issue. Okay, one other thing just to mention, we were talking about the Ravid in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash and requiring 7 days, abstaining from real avoda, during the, each Kohen Gadol's personal guest miluim, period, and that being a din in the miluim and din in avodas Yom HaKippurim. And I'm suggesting again that miluim and avodas Yom HaKippurim are not a coincidence. That in a way they're very similar. Okay, So we mentioned that the Rav thought that, like, what's the yichus of Yom Kippur? And that he thought, based on the Ato Kananta, that this is a din in Tachas Aron HaKohen. And then I mentioned the other day that you don't have to go that far. You could also say that because that's the ultimate, you know, expression, again, of Kohuna Gadola. Maybe the Kohen Gadol is Mishtav, Mishtavish, Big Day Zahav, every day when it comes to the, you know, his particular korban, Michas Chavitin, and, you know, when he is, wants to be oved, you know, the things, and he's Lokeach Chelek Mirosh, I still want to talk about those things, etc. But in the end of the day, you know, what I've been suggesting is that he was, you know, the institution was created for Yom Kippur. Or Yom Kippur was created for him, or whatever. But there's this convergence, you know, between them. So it doesn't have to be that, you know, that there's no din of Shivas Yamin. That's why I mentioned this the other day. I'm only adding now the following. So I came across the other day, they put out some sefer called Asufos Reb Chaim Halevi, or something like that, Reb Chaim, that come from all sorts of different people. Hard to know how authoritative. But they, I just happened to pick it up coincidentally, and one of the Yerushalayim branch of the family says in the name of Reb Chaim that the pshat in the Ravid is as follows. A little bit different, but certainly different than the Rav. And that is that when the Kohen Gadol, you know, is Mishtamesh, Bishmona Begadim, the rest of the year, right? So, of course, he's wearing Big Day Kohuna Gadola, and he is the Gabra Kohen Gadol. But it's never, it doesn't have a chalos shame, avodas kuhuna gedola. Right? That is only true on Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's not midin tachas aron, of course. That's not where they're drawing the line. But it is another place to draw a line. What I'm only adding to both of those is, again, I have a slightly different, you know, nuanced view of all this, and that is, that even Kol Shana, Yom Kippur basically, we'll discuss this more, establishes the Kohen Gadol's role, Kol Shana. And that Kol Shana, right, he's defined by the work that they'll do on Yom Kippur. I think it's a two-way, it doesn't have to be, you could say this in one direction and not in the other, but I believe it is a two-way street. And therefore, the point is that even if you don't go so far as to say, well, the rest of the year, he's Oved the Big Day Zahav, and he's a Gavra Kohen Gadol, but it's not a Vodas Kohuna Gadola. I think you might say that. And certainly it's not a Vodas, you know, Tachas Aron HaKohen, to use the Rav's phrase. But I want to say, even if it is a Vodas Kohuna Gadola, the point still is that it's the anticipation of Yom Kippur that generates that status. And that would still be sufficient to qualify Yom Kippur like the Miluim, and again, not like the Miluim only as a remez or a gzeres hakasid, but being kind of each time a personal Miluim, or, you know, as having this kind of din. Okay. And again, I think there's much more evidence about this as well, but let's leave it that way for now. For the moment, I think also discussing the question, just wanted to mention one other thing, and that is the status of the Kohen Gadol, Shelo B'Shas Avoda. Seems to be a big debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, both in Hilchos Kelayim, the end of Hilchos Kelayim, and Hilchos Kli HaMikdash. We talked about it, I think, when Shabbos was here. Some people may have been here. That, too, there might be some evidence that the status of the Kohen Gadol when it comes to his begadim, you know, and what constitutes Shalom B'Shas Avoda may be defined also by the day of Yom Kippur. Right. So, okay. So there are other indications of this as well. Okay. Getting back now to... So that was point number one. That was the big first big topic that we did, and that was the significance of and the parameters of Knisa L'Fnai V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur and for Aron HaKohen, and so on. The second topic that we did in the second shiur, which I want to pick up with now, is a question of which avodos the Kohen Gadol is required, you know, to preside over. And again, like I said a second ago, this could be a very technical issue. In other words, namely, Torah says that you need a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and the question is, you know, what are the avodos? Clearly. What I was trying to suggest and to convey is that there are at least two subtopics here, but also there is an overlap in applying them. One is, what constitutes avodas hayom on Yom Kippur? Clearly there are concentric circles when it comes to that question. There are things that are clearly singular and unique to avodas Yom Kippurim, where the Kohen Gadol has to wear a big day laban, where you never would do this kind of, you know, avoda any other time during the year, kibandane royal akapores, right, the hazos, you know, bifnim, and on the mizbeach akatores. There are certain things that you clearly can identify as rule-breaking, as, you know, Yom Kippur, muvhak type of issues. And then there are other things which, on the surface, seem to be just, you know, very, extraneous to Yom Kippur, because they apply every single day, because, not only that, but they don't seem to be even related in any way or possibly related to the structure of Avodas Yom Kippurim, or even the timing of Avodas Yom Kippurim. We talked about Trumas Hadeshen, which we'll get to in just a minute. And then in between, you have, you know, a bunch of things that are connected very specifically with Yom Kippur and Avodas Yom Kippurim, but have analog, you know, in other, they're not so unusual, they don't need the big day lavan, you know, they're not such rule breakers, you have maybe even parallels in other karbanos or in other Yom Tovim, certainly things like Musafim, and then the daily things like Tmidim and the Menorah, you know, and the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaZahav, etc. And the question is, what about them? And here is kind of particularly where you're going to have much more controversy, and where it's harder to pin down, because there are two issues. One is, to what extent are those considered to be, you know, albeit maybe in a different coast, you know, on the outer rim of the concentric circles, but part of the avoda, part of the structure of the avoda. And when we speak about hey tevilos v'eser kiddushin, right? So obviously it includes the work, you know, of big day zahav, and the tmidin and the musafim. So that alone reflects that there is some sort of structure. Is the structure, you know, the contrast, you know? So it's a misleading structure, meaning it's really still the big day lavan part. The kiyum is in contrasting the big day lavan with the big day zahav, or more likely, you know, it's all big, one big mosaic, you know, but, you know, that includes, again, a complex, you know, a diverse group of avodos, and what you wear, and where it takes place, and how typical it is and atypical. These are part of the ongoing story, the contrasts and the parallels, etc. But the question is, what will you, or where will you draw the line? So what, you know, what about the Musafe Hayom? And what about if there's the aisle? You know, or does it matter whether the aisle, Shebechumash Pekudim, is the aisle in Parshas Emor or not? I mean, it matters, so we know how many karbonos you have to bring, and you know, and so on and so forth. There's tangible nafkamina. What about conceptually, you know, what does it mean if the Torah speaks about the aisle twice? What does it mean for the aisle? The same aisle? And what does it mean about dragging the parshios? Does it only overlap on the aisle and has two dinim? Or does the overlap on the aisle show you that, you know, in general there aren't two dinim? Rav suggests something like that in one place, in other places he doesn't, but in his Kuntras Avodas Yom Kippurim, he makes that suggestion, and I'll show you in a minute, in another context, he seems to avoid it. So there, basically, what I was trying to portray is that there really is, in the debate about what requires a Kohen Gadol on this day and what does not, it could really be either a debate about one or two things, or most likely the overlap of two different questions. Anything that integrates into, in a significant way, into the Avodas Yom Kippurim probably should require a Kohen Gadol, right? And the question therefore becomes, how integrated is it? And that's also a double question. Like, how integrated is it? And is it so integrated that it doesn't have, like, independent status? Now, you might say, l'chatchila, the tamid or the musafim, you know, should be presided over by the Kohen Gadol, because, you know, in addition, you know, to the daily generic, you know, kiyum, right, there's also kiyum in Yom Kippur. But that wouldn't necessarily justify the Kohen Gadol's participation as being ma'akev, right? And you might say, well, but still, you don't have to do the, you haven't messed up the tamid, maybe not even the musafin, or the ketores, you know, on the Mizbeach HaZahav, or the menorah, right? And we'll soon see, or the shechita, right? On the other hand, if we really think that, you know, that they, you know, that they're really integratable, you know, then that might be the case. That it might be that you're not mekayim them at all. You're not mekayim the avoda components of them, or you're not mekayim the tamid and the ketores, right? That's one question. And the second question, which is the question that really, how could you be two places at the same time? That's amazing, right? Oh, you know what happened? It's amazing. It's beeping. I think it's beeping. You walked in the room, it started beeping.
Oh, sorry.
No. I just think it's enforcing my amuna. Unless you're not the one who's beeping. Something is beeping. Oh, okay. I don't know. Is this being taped?
Yeah.
Oh, something. Yeah, I think Joey just went off. Or you yeah. I turned it off. I mean, is it something as simple as that? Or I had this whole mystical about your digital presence. You know, you can't be two places at the same time. You say you just put. How did you do it? You weren't there. Okay, we're talking about the mysteries of the Kohen Gadol. I don't know. Okay, this requires maybe it's better that we shouldn't know. I hear that. Okay, so right, more like I think equally or more likely, certainly the other part of the equation is, what does the Kohen Gadol's role, you know, in all of this? Again, if we think that it's a hechsher in the avoda, you know, you need begadim, and you need the right, you know, klishares. You know, and you need to be the right order, and you need the right venue, and you also need a Kohen Gadol. Again, it's a functional thing. Again, this is kind of pertaining to what we've been discussing all along. So then, that functionality is, again, likely going to be limited, you know, to avodos, and so on. But, if this is the day of the Kohen Gadol, right, and therefore the Gavra Kohen Gadol, you know, expresses himself in this avoda, in this complex avoda. And you know, again, the avoda needs the Kohen Gadol. The avodos shel Yom HaKippurim, that take place, in other words, on this yom, need the Kohen Gadol. Then that, of course, is a much expansive list. Then you don't need to say necessarily that there's full integration, that the Tmidei Yom Kippur are Tmidei Yom Kippur, or even that the Musafei Yom Kippur are anything more than Musaf, you know, of a Yom Tov, or the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. They don't have to be part of the Avoda, necessarily. And this is the question that we have been dealing with. So again, we talked about the question of the Truma Sadeshen. That's a great example of it. Again, I think all of us will agree that there can be some things, even if they take place, maybe, during the 24-hour or 25-hour period of Yom Kippur, right, that could be, you know, from a different, you know, place entirely. I think we could all live with that idea. The idea that, let's say, the Trumas Hadeshen, if it's Avodas Halayla, and if especially Avodas Etmol, not just, you know, Halayla, then, you know, then even if you were to take the position that this is the Kohen Gadol's day, everything that happens on this day belongs to him, or as a way of expressing, you know, his, you know, prominence and dominance. You know, again, I think we could all say no matter what you say about Trumas HaDeshen, if it's taking place within the 25-hour or 24-hour period of Yom Kippur, it means a Kohen Gadol. But what I am saying is that we could also understand the other side of it, so that the discussion in the Rishonim already, the language of the Ramban, the language of the Rash Mishans quoted by the Ritva, some other Lishonos, right, whether it's a Hechsher Liyom or it's a Kiyum of Laila and Etmol, or some bridge that applies to both, we can understand that, you know, it's not only a machlokas about the Trumas HaDeshen, there's a machlokas about the Trumas HaDeshen, you know, which, you know, kind of highlights also something about the Kohen God. Okay, either way, certainly the Tosis Shanim Dea, which hopefully we'll get back to, and the Balamor, and the Tosas Shah, the ones who are very, very expansive in the role of Kohen Gadol, although what I'm saying is it's hard to say that for them everything is part of Avodas Yom Kippur. Very hard to say that. More likely, they also agree that there's a din in Gavra Kohen Gadol. The question is, what about those in the other direction? Like if you hold like the Mochamos, like the Ramban, know, and mostly like the Rambam, right? Is it that we have an expanded view of the Chalos Avodos, right? Or are we still acknowledging that there's a din in the Gabra Kohen Gadol? So in the Mechamos, I think it's hard to know. In the Ritva, right, there are some indications. So let's speak about the Ritva. We spoke of Mechamos and several Kiddushim in the Mechamos. Okay, we were dying in the language and so on. And we started talking about the Ritva, so let's talk a little bit more about the Ritva. Okay. So number one, what I already said, which is the Ritva, the shame, you know, HaRamban, goes further than the Ramban that we have, certainly, and seems to break it down in terms of Avodas Yom Kippurim, as opposed to other avodos. Again, the language, as we discussed, points in that direction as well. It says here, Amar li sheyosavu tibidaraisa ein chova b'kohen gadol ela b'avodos hayom mamish. Again, it's hard to know what that means. We'll see in a moment. Aval, the contrast says, tmidin v'avodos shel kol yom v'yom k'sheiros afilu b'kohen hedya. So tmidim, that's certainly b'di'evet, right? And avodos shel kol yom v'yom. What are avodos shel kol yom v'yom? Presumably, that would include the menorah and the ketores, right? What about musafin? Not clear. If you ask me instinctively, I would say it doesn't include the musafin. See, the Rav took it differently. Because why mention tmidim and then not mention Musafin if it's included? Hardly obvious that Avodos shel kol yom v'yom, you know, includes Musafin. If you want to say Avodos shel kol yom tov v'yom tov, you know, that would include it. Okay, so it's unclear, but we'll get back to it in a second. Ela de mitzvah b'kohen gadol tvei. That's a strange idea. Right, where do we find... This sounds like a daraisa. Right, a mitzvah b'kohen gadol tvei. I mean, a kiyum a mitzvah without a chiyuv and without an ikul. Very rare phenomenon. Rabbanan shavu chova, right, b'kohen gadol af b'tmidim. Okay? Because that's just to navigate the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Yuma. It sounds like we are makpid that the kohen gadol should even do the shechita of the tamid. Certainly you should do the other stuff for the Tamid. So that's a Chovah Drabbanah. Again, the Chovah Drabbanah doesn't interest me at the moment because we're not paskening Shailas here. But the Chovah Drabbanah corresponds to a Kiyum Doraisa, Mitzvah B'Kohen Gadol Tzvei. V'lo hitiru l'dvarim she'enam ikar avoda, ka'osa she'amru kortzu mirik acher shechit al yado, u'kagon l'hafech b'mazleg, right, lahazmin ebarim lahalosan, and then he adds, "V'heicha the kohen gadol chalush, osin avodas tmidim af bekoin hedyo, even though it's a kiyum daraisa, behind the katani tana dine payasas. Okay. So what I was trying to say last time was, it seems to me obvious, this is a strange middle category. It's very helpful as a compromise in terms of the navigating the evidence, for sure. But what does it really mean? And where do we find such a thing? What does it mean to have a chiyuv without a chiyuv, without an ikuv? That's doraisa. Also, where does it say any of this in psukim? It doesn't really. Right? There's no pasuk that indicates, well, again, the shachat, the, you know, the aron is mentioned, the kohen gadol, you know, is mentioned, you know, bane this and bane that. So it has to be out of conviction. It's not out of makar. Moreover, this last line, that hechad the kohen gadol chalush osen avodos tmid enough b'kohen hedyo, like, so he's a little, what is it, kol hashem b'sakana? Like, what is this? Right? So I think the answer is going back to what we said before, and that is, but then it raises an interesting question. And that is that really what we're saying is that these other things can be integrated, but don't necessarily have to be. And they still have a kiyum b'tnei atzmo. A. And or maybe not even that. B. Maybe that's not, even that isn't true. And that is that the din of Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur, right, is not a hechsher in the avoda per se. It's a din in the gabra. It's a kiyum in the gabra Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur. But then it raises an interesting question, and that is, okay, so there are two, and therefore, but make it clear, that's what I mean about there being a kiyu b'li iku, because from an avoda point of view, it's not going to be a t'nai in the heksher or avoda, but since it is taking place in this period, and it still is associated, broadly speaking, that's why I think there needs to be a little bit of an overlap. With, it's not, you know, you don't have the slichat t'chila on... according to the Shita, presumably on Trumas Hadesha. Right? This is within the view that says that Trumas Hadesha, there's no problem. Although, again, by the way, I should add, I'm not 100% sure about that. You could have said, because, again, part of the... What's the rive of the Balamor from Trumas Hadesha? That the timing of it was, again, Mishum Chulsha Shal Kohen Gadol. But that's why the Balamor and the Rashi Mishams and all the... And though, the day in Tos Tishanim... That's why I think that the Kohen Gadol did the Trumas Hadeshen, you know, as well. But again, maybe, so you could say, once when it says the Hechad the Kohen Gadol Cholos Osen Avodas Tmidim Af B'Kohen Hedyo, you know, that maybe that he holds that way in Trumas Hadeshen as well. But since this is all within the view of the Ramban, you know, even though it's much more than what the Ramban says in Mochamos, and it's different, it's hard to believe. You know, that Ramban, that it's the suggestion, and there's no indication in the text that he's chozer from the Trumas Hadeshen part. So what I would say is that the Trumas Hadeshen part is still, you know, that's yesterday's kiyum. But anything that relates to today, even if it isn't a hardcore part of the avoda, that's it in the Gavra Kohen Gadol. Therefore, we tvei. I mean, if he can do it, it's a kiyum. Right? But if he can't do it, because it comes at, you know, too great a price, chulshas kohen gadol, right, then it's not perceived that he's less involved in the avoda, it's just understood, you know, that he's not going to pay a higher price. But then the question is, so what about the two levels? The one that is mechuyev and ma'akev, afalpisha, you know, maybe lidei chulsha, right, and, you know, the one that is, you know, chiyuv, Tvei, but has this flexible sliding scale, you know, application. So here I think again that there are two things you could say. You could say that there are two dinim, that when it comes to the Gavra Kohen Gadol, this being Yomo Shel Kohen Gadol, etc., when it comes to all of that, you know, so there's always a p'tur of Chulsha, and it's always a Lechatchila, not a B'diavad. You know, and so on and so forth. And however, there's also something else, and that's the avoda, the big day lavan, or whatever else crosses that line. You know, those are dinim and the avoda. They require kohen gadol, just like they require, you know, other details. There are two dinim, and, you know, this maybe the fact that the Torah, again, the makars, you know, one is just the description of the avodos and, you know, chukah and aron, you know, those kind of things. And the other is, you know, the fact that the Torah is speaking about aron and Kohen Gadol and the whole parsha, even in the other parts, you know, implying that it's all being done by one. So those are the two dinim and two makaros, etc. But I do think it's also possible that really everything is a din in the Gavra Kohen Gadol. But the point being that there are, like you say, if the Kohen Gadol is not involved in the essential avodos, then that, of course, is ma'akev. And again, not a coincidence, but this is the point, meaning the imprimatur, the Kohen Gadol, needs to be on these avodos. Right? Otherwise, the whole idea of Yomo Shel Kohen Gadol, you know, or Kohen Gadol B'Yomo, you know, if it's not these essential Big Day Laban or more issues, then that's all just a hollow. And it doesn't matter if he's chalash or whatever. Part of the definition of being a Kohen Gadol, with everything that implies, is his hands-on involvement in these more acute expressions of Kulal Hashem, you know, on this day, the wearing of the Big Day Laban, the Pnai, the Pnim, things that are crucial. It's in the other ones where, you know, we have a more flexible application or assessment of what's going on. So I think that, I just don't know the answer, but I think at least that's a question to mention. Yeah?
One way to explain the distinction is the Isser of a Levi or Kohen doing someone else's avodah,
Zar.
Some Rishon that applies from one Kohen to another. So we assume that the avodahs that are not basic to Yom Kippur, then almost like it's assigned to a Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, and they're supposed to be done with him. Another Kohen shouldn't do them, but it's not puzzled.
Right, but the problem here, no one's saying that Zar, no one's saying that Kohen Hedjet is puzzled. They're saying, what?
It's still the Avoda. Yeah. I'm not talking about the Isser Zar. I'm just saying the Isser for Kohen, the Isser leading to the Kohen's Avoda, or Kohen to the Levi's Avoda.
Yeah, that, which might be a kind of Zar. Might be.
But it's probably not puzzle Avoda, but the Zar would
if be. Some might, or but might be, might trigger a few. You know,
you assume here that it's not absurd, and the avodas are not basic to Yom Kippur. The same on another day when the pious was Nick, and someone at different Kohen took that one's Kohen's, or wouldn't possibly avoda. So
no, for sure not.
What?
That for sure not.
Right, so if those of you are another Kohen doing Tumid, or the regular avoda, it's supposed to go to the Kohen Gadol because it's assigned to him.
Yeah.
But if another Kohen does it on Yom Kippur, it's not going to possibly avoda, because those avodas are just part of the daily. The fact that they're assigned to the Kohen Gadol is because it's Yom Kippur, but it's just the assignment like any other Kohen being assigned to avoda on a different day.
But I'm saying clearly this is much more than that. You wouldn't say that that's a kiyum d'oraisa, that it's tvei that he should do it.
Why not? Same way it's a tvei.
I mean, how was it assigned to him? Where was it assigned to him? Aside from the idea
that we're not doing the pious. That's how every other Kohen gets it assigned in any other day.
Oh, you mean if there's no pious, everything belongs to the Kohen Gadol every day?
Or that the pious lack of pious, or on Yom Kippur, the pious goes to him.
And I'm saying, but what is that true? Is that true if it's a din in the hechsher of the avoda? Particularly, or is that only true? Would that only be? I mean, I like it's a sharp idea, but wouldn't that still only be true if there was something about the Gavra Kohen Gadol and this being his day?
Well,
I mean, you're just suggesting
like
a very interesting additional application. You're saying that if there's no pious, we'll get to the pious in just a second.
Okay.
But if there's no pious. You know, so then on this day, everything belongs to the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's somebody else doing it in addition to that is like, you know, stepping on his toes.
And
I'm saying we don't know that that's true, but to the extent that it would be true, it would probably be a function of what I'm suggesting, you know, being behind it.
Right, that's right. But I'm saying that would explain the chiluk between which avodas the Kohen Gadol has to do or it's ma'akev.
Right.
Namely, the avodas Yom Kippur and Torah.
And those because of Heksher, or because they're mufkad and a more fundamental.
That's just
okay, that's a good shot. Yeah. I don't think you. I think it's an elegant way to explain it. Yeah. I'm just saying it's a little bit added of an idea, but one which I think is worth thinking about or pursuing. But at the end of the day, it's kind of drawing from this perspective. Anyway, so those are two dead. Now the other thing I want to mention about the pious. is a comment I meant to make last time, and Elliot made it to me, made the comment afterwards as well, and that is
the
Bala Itur. So the again, in the footnotes of the Ritva, he quotes it, but it's there. Even though he quotes it, it's still really there. No, they do a good job. That in the Avodah Yom Kippurim of the Itur, he suggests that. Yeah, he gives it la'ohava l'krova, the Trumas HaDeshen, and stuff like that. So that's very interesting. And again, just the question is like, where does that come from? Like, what is that? But again, that's what I had meant to mention last time also, and that is that if we say this is the day of the Kohen Gadol, it is, you know, 24, 25 hour, you know, period where who he is and what he does and the Kedushas Hayom and all these things, you know, come together, then the idea that he's in charge of the pious. Again, this is a little similar, it's a little bit different than what you were, when Yaakov was suggesting a second ago, but, you know, it's an interesting kind of a wrinkle, too. What?
I saw the footnote
of the Ritva also. Yeah. So I'm saying this idea that, like, you know, it's he's the default guy on Kohen Gadol. Everything is his.
Or you could say maybe there's a pious that goes to him. Meaning, if you assume, like, the Ramban, that there is some pious happening on this day, maybe part of the pious was that whatever wasn't distributed to everyone else
is automatically
yes. To him.
Interesting. Again, the Ramban is very specific about what is and what isn't included in, for the Ramban himself, which is in Mokamos. But I think either way, it's an interesting idea. Now, I just want to mention the Rav very quickly, that in the Kudras of Avodas Yom Kippurim, I think I brought it. Did I bring it? Yeah, I did. Okay. Here on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, so he mentioned in the name of his father, that let's go quickly through this, that he was mistapek within the world view of the Ritva, like what is ma'akev and what is not. And he considered two possibilities. One is that Big Day Lavan is Koveya. Whatever requires Big Day Lavan, the Kohen Gadol's participation is ma'akev. Anything else does not. Right? Or is it anything that is mentioned in Parshas Emor? Okay? Because that too, even if it's done the Big Day Zav, right, is part of the Seder HaAvoda. It isn't necessarily Avoda Sam Yuchados, but I guess maybe it'll be part of the Chalos Avoda in a bigger way. Then he says that, you know, it seems from the language of the Ritva that it's the more expansive, but it's not limited to, to being a Lavan, but that it's the Avodas of Yom Kippur. So that should include the others. But then in the continuation, he says, so that means, as opposed to Tmidin, right? Musafin. That's his conclusion. One second. Oh, I'm sorry. So his idea is that the nafkamina between Big Day Lavan and the rest of the Parsha, even the Big Day Zav, would be the El Ha'am. Yeah. He says the El Ha'am, according to the Man Da'amar and Davayin, that there are two aisles. That there's an aisle in Parshas Emor and an aisle in Pinchas. So the aisle in Parshas Emor clearly, you know, was Karev Big Day Zahav, right? So that would be the nafkamina between these two, you know, perspectives. He implies that if you hold that it's the same aisle, right, that it would not require the Kohen Gadol. Okay. Again, I think that is not compelling. I think if anything, but again, this is Lishitaso a little bit, because he's assuming that the Musafim, Lekula Alma, are not included in the charge of the Kohen Gadol, but the Abbot. Sorry, you were about to ask?
Yeah.
Meaning if you assume that the Musafim and that Pinchas, basically is fundamentally excluded, and the question is, Big Day Lavan is Koveya or Emor is Koveya? Right? That you're assuming basically that Pinchas is out. Okay. And that belongs with Tmidim, and that's Tmidim Musafim, Menorah, and Ketores. If you ask me, I don't think, as I said before, I'm just repeating what I said before when I was reading the language of the Ritva, it sounds like Tmidim, you know, Ketores, and Menorah, but that Musafim, namely Parshas Pinchas, at least the Yom Kippur part of Parshas Pinchas, would be included. Right? In which case, it wouldn't matter whether the Ayel Ha'amor B'Pekudim is the Ayel Ha'amor the Emor, either way it would be included. But I would say even more. If you held that the Ayel Ha'amor B'Emor and the Ayel Ha'amor B'Pekudim is the same Ayel, instead of excluding that aisle from the requirement of Kohen Gadol, it would be more of a reason to think, you know, that that even the rest of the Musafim should be included in Emor. I mean, should be included in the requirement of Kohen Gadol. And that happens to be a point that the Rav makes in the Kuntres of Aras Yom Kippurim elsewhere, just not here. So, meaning that the point of the Torah, you know, why did the Torah write something that's so ambiguous, such that there's going to be a debate whether or not there are two Eilim or one Eil? That's one way to look at the question. And why does the Torah, you know, mention the Eil in two different places? Either, you know, mention it in Emor or mention it in Pinchas. Either way, we'll know what to do with it. Right? But the answer, this is what he says elsewhere, is that the Torah wanted to kind of bridge, you know, the, you know, Emor and Pinchas. And to show you that the Musafim are also part of the Avoda. Right? Now again, when we say the Musafim are part of the Avoda, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not also independent as Musafim. It's one question. It also doesn't mean that they are, you know, it could be because of the contrast, you know, going back and forth from one to the other. It could be because of the contrast. It could be because of the variety and its integration. Right? It's hard to know what we mean by that. But either way, I think for the, you know, this view that the Ritva is quoting, it's much more likely that either way the aisle would be included no matter what. I wouldn't exclude the aisle in Emor, you know, just because it's also from the Pekudim. And on the contrary, I would have included the Musafim being without it, even if the two Elim, I'm just telling you my view, if there are two Elim, one in each parsha, I would still think that Musafim, based on the language, you know, would require the Kohen Gadol. And even as, you know, in terms of being the Akeva, I can't prove it, but it sounds that way to me, in terms of what he does say, what he omits. And certainly if you hold, you know, the bridge idea, which he himself, as they say, expresses elsewhere, then I would certainly hold that should be the case. Okay. Another point that the Rav suggests, or another suffix that he has in that piece, is the Seira Nasa Bachutz. Let me talk about that again, because it's gives the opportunity to talk about some of these things. Now again, the Seira Nasa Bachutz is only mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, not in Parshas Emor. It's certainly also like Musafim of other Yom Tovim and even Rosh Chodesh, Mechaper and Tumas Mikdash Bekadasha. Okay, why am I telling you that? Because that, you know, establishes it clearly as Musafim and as, you know, having a generic, you know, component or element to it, no question. At the same time, he's mistapek, whether according to this shita, again, whether it means particularly this shita or something like this shita, but you could draw the line in different places, it doesn't really matter so much. We get the general idea. You know, is it possible that the Seir Hanasa Bechutz is going to be treated differently than the rest of the Musafim, right, and that Dafka it is going to require the Kohen Gadol? Okay, why? So first of all, not something that he says, but something I'm saying. if when we talked about the Meshech Chachma, right, I just noted, you know, Shachar was talking about, you know, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, you know, and therefore the need, you know, for Knisa Lefnai V'Lefnim more often, especially in the Midbar, and the presence of the Shekhinah and all that kind of stuff. Interesting. So just, I made a comment. He doesn't say this, the Meshech Chachma at all, but I was just making the comment in general that the Psukim in the Avoda of Yom Kippurim do emphasize Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav a lot. Which is fascinating because, again, it's a generic, you know, din in all Yom Tovim, and even in Musafei Rosh Chodesh. So you just wonder, you know, even though it is generic, whether or not, you know, its more specific application isn't dafka, its centrality on Yom Kippur. It seems to play a role in Yom Kippur that defies, you know, the generic analog. And again, that's part of my Achas Bashana theme, that there are certain things that, you know, Yom Kippur is the most acute expression of, you know, so it's not that they're generic, it's that the rest of the applications, you know, kind of draw on the intense Yom Kippur, you know, they kind of keep alive or they echo more faintly or more moderately, you know, the theme of Yom Kippur. That's a very different, that's the opposite, you know, perspective, obviously. So that's my ha'ara on this. But before, the Rav's ha'ara was a more of a structural one, which is and a very good structural one. And that is that in the end of the day, Tz'ir Nasa B'chutz, right, is part of the third tevilah. Again, we'll just break down the structure. There's some debate in the Rishonim, Rashi, and the Rambam. Save that away from that for the moment. Certainly, according to the Rambam, it's part of the third tevila. Meaning the first tevila is the Tamid and the other Musafim, right? The Par and the Zayin Kvasim. Right? That's the first tevilah. Then you have the second tevilah and the wearing of the big day lavan and the avoda of the par shel Aaron and the seirim. Right? Then you have the third tevilah, right, which includes Elo ve'el ha'am and the seir anasa b'chutz. Right? And that's how the Now, the Elo v'El Ha'am, they're explicit in Parshas Achrimos, in Tezayin Chav Dalet. Again. V'rochas es psaro b'mayim b'makom kadosh v'lavash es begadav. This is the Big Day Zav. Right? V'yotza v'yasa es olaso right? What's not explicit is the Seir Hanasa B'chutz, but that, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, at least, that's what Rav's quoting here as well, that it says, Milvad, the Torah uses the expression in Pinchas, Milvad, you know, the Seir Hanasa B'fnim, when it talks about the Seir Hanasa B'chutz. So the diuk is that milvad connects the two, and you can't have a milvad until, you can't have milvad unless you first do the Seir Hanasa Bifnim, and only then the Seir Hanasa Bechutz, which means that the Seir Hanasa Bechutz, like Elo ve'el Ha'am, are part of the post, you know, Big Day Lavan, or first Big Day Lavan, or second Tevila. And that's what the Rambam paskins clearly, in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Okay. It says here, He has a whole, right? Ketzad, betchila poshet big day chol shalav, betova biolo mistafeg, velovesh big day zahav, bekadish shodav ragav v'shochet is a tamid, makdir ktorah shol shachar, shol kol yom, meitav aneros, makdir evare hatamid imakvitim, and the sakin makar v'par v'shiva kvasim, shol musaf hayom. Achkach mekadish shodav raglav, Poshet big day zav, tov v'yolim mistapeg, lovish big day lavan, kadosh shodav ragav v'ovid avodas hayom, kula, aviduyin, amagrala, zrika sadamin v'knim, haktaris haktaris b'kodesh hakadashim, mosar asir mishtaleach, oso la'azazel, motzi emore apar v'asar nisrafim, mosar sharn l'sreifa, achakach mekadosh shodav ragav, poshet big day lavan, tov v'yolim mistapeg, lovish big day zahav, Kadishad of Raglib, Magiv, Umakrib, Seira Chatas, Shom Musaf Hayom, the Elo, the El Ha'am, the Haim Olos. And then Umakhtir, Emure, Par Vesayir, Hanisrafin, fascinating that you do that also in the same period, even though Par and Vesayir are from the second Tvila, Big Day Laban. Umakrib, Tamid, Shalbein, Arbayim. And then again, you have, the Knisa l'kachek hadashim in the Yitzias Hotzas rather kaf umachta, and then you have finally big day zav l'ktorish shobein rabayim atapas aneros etc. That's the so the Ram says explicitly that based on that you and the Gemara based on bilvad of the sa'ir hanasa bifnim that this is part of the this is post. Big day love. So I guess the Rav's idea was that certainly, again, one could have said that, if it's part of the third Tevila and it's, it's out of its, regular order, you've split it off from the regular, Tamid and Musafim. So maybe Seir, Hanasa, Bachutz, and Elo, Ve'el, Ha'am, maybe all three of them, are different. Okay, again, we already talked about whether or not, the El Ha'am, it depends on whether or not it's the same one or a different one. The Rav's suggestion, my suggestion. But regarding the Seir Bachutz, so he was saying if it's based on Milvad, so what we see is that there's some sort of a kiyum, some sort of a double status of Seir Bachutz. That it's both related to Tumas Mikdash for Kadasha. Again, I've already suggested that might be Dafka reason to make it more, but okay. But what he's saying is that the order implies that is there's an element of integration with that as well, I think that one could go even a step further than that and maybe suggest, based on the Milvad, that the contrast between the Seir HaPnimi and Seir Bachutz is an added element. Again, I personally think that the Musaf and anyway would be included, but and this based on the language of the Rambam, we'll get to the Rambam in more detail in just a minute, but in the very beginning of Ilkhus Vodis Yom Kippurim, Eric Olive. Nimtzu kol behemos hakreven biyom zeh. We'll get to this in a minute. Chamisha asar, 15. Shnei tmidim. Essentially, the Rambam when he counts up the karbanos of the yom. So he also reformulates the order. Okay, they could say it's just for mnemonic, for memory reasons, etc. Nimsa kol beimus hakreven biyom zeh chamisha asar. Shnei tmidim, upar, shnei elim, shiva kvasim kulan olos. And then he has shnei seirim, chatas, echad nasa b'chutz, v'nechal erev, and then finally, you par koin godol lechatos v'hu nisraf. So I'm just adding to the idea here. And that is that the again earlier he has Makrivin Yesra Musab Zeh. Though earlier he has it just as part of the Musab. Makrivin Musab Ayom Par V'Ayol Shivas Kvasim Kula Nolus Usir Chatas Nasa B'Chutz V'Hu Nechal Erev. Every time he mentions Sir Nasa B'Chutz, he always adds V'Hu Nechal Erev. Okay. You know, you can see everybody's getting, you know, very I don't know if it's the, you know, Knivas Yerek, you know, syndrome, or presumably it's much more than that. I'm only being facetious. So yeah. So originally he has it as part of the Musafin. But when he has Nimtza, right, he reorganizes it. So then it's connected to the two Seirin. Not the two Seirin. Originally the two Seirin are the, you know, Seir Nasa Bifnim and the Seir Mishtaleach, right? Od Mevim Mishal Tzibur Shnei Seirei Izin. Same halacha. Echad Kari V'chatas U'hu Nisraf Hasheni Seir Mishtaleach. But then when he nimtzus them, which is all very strange anyway, because we can all count, and we can all just, you know, we can count the number of 15, and we can figure out, because he just told us it's the same halacha, what they all are. Why do they have to repair them? So here, Shnei Seirim, Echad Nasa B'Chutz V'Nechal Erev, Hasheni Nasa B'Fnim V'Nisrav. Okay, so the idea that maybe through the contrast, or maybe again this idea of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashim and so on, that this is an added element of Ki, an added Kiyum. Therefore, you might, you know, include that even according to this Deya, even if you don't include the other Musafim, is something to consider. So I guess the aisle or the two alim is one, and the, well, certainly you'd have to bring alo anyway, but also aisle ha'am, that we discussed, and the other one is the seir hanasa b'chutz. Okay. With regard to other rishonim, let's move away for the moment from the ritva in the name of the Ramban, and the Ramban himself and the Balabar. Soon. So, according to the other Rishonim, it seems like the requirement of Tmidim and Musafim is even Ma'akim. And that sounds that way, certainly, from the Rambam. Right, the Rambam, I don't know why I keep closing it. Should just leave it open, right? Yeah. You're going to tell me why I keep closing it?
No, while you're turning, while you're turning.
Yeah.
I know that the Ramban in Shor Shuvei says that the Tumas Hadeshen is the Siyum of the Olos of the previous day.
Is the
word well? It's the.
Oh, the Henry had that language. I don't remember that. Where's that?
Henry has a footnote here. I haven't looked it up yet.
You have a what?
I had it in a footnote in like this Mitzvina, but I can look it up while you're telling.
In Shor Shuvei, Ramban calls it Tumas Hadeshen, like the Ramban, in other words.
Hashlamas Ola, yeah.
A Shlomos Olin of the other day.
Which is like Olin's Lila.
Well, the Rambam here, again, in Perek Dalid, Halacha Aleph, if you remember the Ramban, as I said, I think it's very, very rare to find the Ramban of Muhammad's quoting the Rambam. Usually, you know, that's what he talks about. Of course, he talks about the Balamor and the Ravid and the Rif. Very rare. I'm trying to remember, you know, where else. Of course, in the Chidushim and, you know, obviously in Sefer Mitzvot, so it's all about the Rambam. In many places he talked about the Rambam. Very rare that he would talk about it. But here he does, and he quotes the Rambam approvingly. You get the impression that the Rambam agrees with the Rambam, or the Ramban thinks that the Rambam agrees with it. Right? And he does in one respect, when it comes to the pious of the Tumas Hadeshen, which is what you're talking about, right? Seder kalamaisim shir b'yom zeh kachu, b'chatzos halayla mafisin the Tumas Hadeshen. Umisadrin samaraka, right? Umedashnin esamizbeach, keder shosim bechol yom, al seder shabiarnu ad shegia lishkita satamid. Mi shegia lishkota satamid, parsin sadin shabutz ben kohen gadol ben ha'am. Right? And then he has the whole everything. Okay, and everything from there seems to be in the hands of the Kohen Gadol. So unlike the Ramban, who thinks that there are four payasim, as we discuss, right? Even after the Ketores, right, with the siyua b'machta, and then you have, you know, the disha and the menorah and the whole, everything we discussed already last time with the Ramban. That is not, that doesn't appear necessarily to be Shitas Rambam. But the Rambam is against the Baal HaMor. Okay? So the Rambam is less expansive than Baal HaMor and Tosfos Shanz and that group, and Tosfos Hadei and Tosfos Shanim. Meaning he doesn't think the Kohen Gadol is involved in yesterday's avoda. So that you found it or not?
I did, but I'm not sure what he means is what the Ramban is saying.
Okay, what does it say?
It says about Limei b'Parsha Tzav, referring to the question that I assume of why it repeats itself in Vayikra Tzav.
Yeah.
About Limei b'Parsha Tzav is Aron b'Chatas u'Va'asham inin achilasam uve'ola haramas hadeshen u'kayotzi bahen tosefes hashlamas hamitzvah harishona shelimei b'Parsha Vayikra.
Oh, no. What are you reading? You're reading the
Ramban.
Ramban.
Ramban, yeah.
Oh, the Ramban al Torah.
No, I'm sure it should be.
Oh, the Ramban al Torah. Oh, okay. That's similar to what he writes in his Parash al Torah, actually, in Parash Tzav too. I don't think it. No, he's just. I think he's just trying to explain.
Yeah, it's rounding out the din, not that.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said the Rambam in Shrashim.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No. No, that's. Yeah, he says that almost exact same language, if I recall. In the beginning of Parash Tzav, we talk about why the overlap. Or not overlap. Why certain things are in Vayikra and certain things are in Tzav. So I don't think it means that. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Rambam. Okay. Anyway, but the Rambam does exclude the Trumas HaDeshen. However, when it comes to other things, Rambam says, Rambam is very clear that he has a very expansive view. So I just want to talk about the Rambam for a minute. Because again, I think, typically, every word is kind of gold here. The Rambam begins Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, with a list. And again, nothing wrong with that, except that the Rambam is free to do what he wants. It's a free association here. The Mishnah in Yuma starts with Mafrishin Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippurim. I was trying to explain why I think that's really important. It's all about Kohen Gadol's preparation. Again, it could also just be the sequence, because it starts 7 days in advance. But I was also trying to explain what the Prisha and the Matkinin and all this stuff is maybe also really all about. Anyways, the Rambam doesn't begin with that. Right? The Psukim begin Bezos Yavo Alar Aron El HaKodesh. Bepar, Bembakar, and so on and so forth. And then they go on to do the Avoda. The Rambam, and again, there's nothing wrong with this, don't get me wrong. And it's also the first Avoda that we do. On the day, during the day. But it's still if it isn't curious, I know curious might be too strong a word, but at least it's certainly not compelling. Again, I would have started with, Kippa Anane Rala Kapores or the preparation of the Kohen Gadol or Knisa Lefnai Velefnim. The Rama begins all of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim with the words, number one, B'yom HaTzom, which we talked about already. B'yom HaTzom makrivim tamid v'shachar v'tamid b'enu arbayim k'seder kol yom v'yom. So that is true. Everybody agrees with that. It's clear in the psukim when we're describing everything. And, it's absolutely clear that is factually correct. But that seems like such a anticlimax. Well, climax at the end, but it seems like a very quiet, let's say, beginning. The first thing you want to know is don't think, meaning, and I think it has one or the other, or in my opinion, both, tremendously profound points of significance. But I don't think that he intended to start quiet. Right. One is, would you really have thought maybe that there wasn't a tamid shel shachar and a tamid shel bein arbayim on Yom Kippur? Right? To use Josh's kliyakar for a moment, that this is such a moment, but you don't need it for that. Again, he doesn't fully follow through with it, but it's a great line to take. I mean, this is such a bubble in time, it's such a you know, singular moment, you know, that there's no tamid, like, you know, there can't be a tamid because there's nothing tamidi, or, you know, it's a yom mishuneh, you know, mitchila v'yad sof. That's what you'd have thought. But then in the end, what are we really saying when we're saying it's not true? So we're saying factually it's not true. Don't make this mistake. Again, and that's to be honest, again, you know, it's not so... I mean, the first thing that we really read about in terms of the Avodas Hayom is the role that the Kohen Gadol is going to play in the Tamid, as we'll see, you know, in terms of the Shechita, in terms of the, you know, Marika, in terms of the... Well, not the Marika, but in terms of the Kabbalah Saddam. Okay, but what I'm saying is, you know, again, when every atheist speaks about these things, about the Ketores or the Tamid, he always mentions Keseder Kol Yom V'Yom. Right? You don't need it. We already know it. And he certainly doesn't have to keep repeating it. But I think what he's saying is you would have thought that this is a bubble and, you know, defies everything. You're going to be Nichlas Leflaiv Lefnim because it's out of time, you know, out of phase of time. It just, you know, Achas Bashana, therefore defies everything. But the Kamash Malan isn't, in my opinion, just that it's not true. The Kamash Malan is, no, it's so Achas Bashana that it has to be connected to the rest of the year, but also is transformative of the rest of the year. So that, as we'll see, not only is there a Tamid, right, but then say, oh, but there's another Kiyum, it's like, you know, but it's also a regular day of the year. That's not what the Rambam means. He means it isn't a bubble because it's such a it isn't a bubble with respect to this, because it's such a bubble that, you know, that it transforms even the Tamid. So the first thing you need to know is that B'yom HaTzom Makrivim B'tamid Shachar B'tamid Ben Arbayim Keseder Kol Yom V'Yom. But as we're going to see in a minute, you know, we need a Kohen Gadol for this on this day, and it's Ma'akev. So the next line is U'makrivin Musaf Hayom. Okay, so already we already established that it isn't such a bubble that all the rules don't apply. It's a regular day or not a regular day, you know, as reflected in the Talmud, and it's a regular yontif or not a regular yom tov, right? In that there's going to be musafim. So he's following through with this. U'makrivin musaf hayom. Because we're not starting with achrimos, you know. Not the Kohen Gadol part and not even the other parts. We're kind of starting with Pinchas. First we're starting with regular Pinchas, and now we're in the Musafin part of Pinchas. Par, the Ayil, the Shiva Kavasin, Kulano, the Sirkata Sanasa Bakutz, the Hunachal Erev, or this is what I was reading before. And then Od Makrivim Yesar al Musaf Zeh. I wouldn't have written it that way. If anything, you'd say the opposite. You know, this is the day of the Kohen Gadol, and this is the day of special karbanos that you don't see any other day of the year. Right? And in addition, you should know, you also have to bring, the musafin, because it's also a yantif, and it's also a tamid. Instead, it goes like the Od Makrivin Yesra Musaf Zeh. You know, once we've established the Tmidin and Musafim, by the way, except not by the way, right? Then you have the dramatic singular Karbanos, right? Par Ben Bakar Lachatos, the Hunisraf, the Ayala Ola. That starts off also fascinating with the two Karbanos of the Kohen Gadol, which we want to discuss. Ushneim Mishal Kohen Gadol. This also just the way he writes it, right? Od Makrivin Yesar Musav Zeh Par Ben Bakar Lachatos V'Nisra V'Ayala Ola, comma, or parentheses, Ushneim Mishal Kohen Gadol. Which again, I think has to be read in two opposite ways, because again, if you stop there, when you write a comma or you write a parentheses, he's presenting them as if they're karbanos of the day. There's Tmidin, there's Musafim, and there's the Par and the Ayil. But it's important to know, factually and conceptually, that these par and ayil are the karbanos, shneim bishel kohen gadol. We have to talk about that. Right? You could have said they're the karbanos of the kohen gadol. They have nothing to do with the karbanos tzibur. Right? But apparently they're the first ones he mentions. Again, sequentially, they are the par, at least, of the first one that he's makriya. Then va'ayil abba mishal tzibur, ha'omur b'parshas achramos, hu ha'ayil ha'omur b'chudish kudim b'chal ha'musaf, v'hu nikra el'am. A lot of who's. I.e. Again, so if you just wanted you to know, it's going to tell you the number anyway. But the ayil abba mishal tzibur, in achramos, I said omur before, I meant achramos, sorry. Hu ayil meant in vayikra. Who ayil ha'omer b'chumash b'kudim b'chlal ha'musaf who nikra el ha'am. Again, using the Rav's idea, but not the one from here, but the one from the other place. Meaning, this is a bridge korban that shows you, you know, that the musafim and the avodas hayom are connected. Right, the od mevin mishal tzibur. I would have started with that, frankly. If you want the most dramatic korbanos of the day. What are the most dramatic korbanos of the day? Shnei asirim. Right? V'od mevim mishal tzibur, shnei sireizim, echad karev chatos, v'hu nisrav, v'asheni, sireh mishtalech. Okay? Nimtzu, again, we can all count, and we can all, you know, we can count the number of total korbanos, so we can all, you know, figure out the combinations. Nimtzu, kol ha-behemos ha-kreven b'yom zeh, 15. So again, in my opinion, what's going on here is that the Rambam is telling you it's not a bubble that ignores the regular rules. On the contrary, it is a bubble, you know, that necessarily includes them and is connected to them in two opposite ways. Number one, the fact that these korbanos are brought on Yom Kippur is significant to them all the time, but for our purposes here in particular, right, they, despite being daily korbanos or yontifli korbanos, right, are part of an integrated, holistic experience called Avodas Yom HaKippur. That's an amazing thing. That's why Nimtzu kol ha-behemos ha-kreven b'yom zeh, 15. Not because we can count. He wants you to know all 15, they're different, they're broken up. He broke them up already in one way. Again, opposite order, but each in a fascinating way, pairing them in different ways. And now he's going to break them up in a different way. Right? And he's going to count them for you and Nimtza them for you, because they're different and they're a package. Right? Shnei Tmidim, Par Shnei Elim, Shiva Kvasim, Kulanol, Shnei Seirim, Chatos Echad, Nasa Bachutz, Nechal Erev again, Vasheni Nasa Bifni, this is what I was referring to before. That kind of ties them together. In addition, I believe it, for sure, that's how he read the Gemara, the remez of Novad in Pinchas, meaning that these are connected. Right? Bin Nisraf, right, by the way, this is also fascinating. The first korban, particular korban of the yom, right, that's mentioned. I mean, with avodas, avoda, the big day lavan, and it's nichnas is the par, and now it's the last. Par kohen gadol lechatos v'nisra, and what happened to the ayil? That got integrated with elov ve'elam, two elim. Originally, it was par and ayil. Right? And by the way, they belong to the Kohen Gadol, or you should know they belong to the Kohen Gadol. Right? So we're going to get back to all this, because I want to talk about the power in the ayil. But the point is that this whole presentation, starting with this, and every word practically, in my opinion, I mean, it could be I'm making too much of it. There's nothing, let me make it clear. There's no difficulty in the language of the Rambam or in starting in this place. But it's a choice. It doesn't come from the Psukim, and it doesn't come from the Mishnayos, right? And again, the repetition and the unnecessary counting and all of that makes an impression. And again, if we read Rambam's regularly, we know he does this. And but usually when he does this, you know, there's an agenda. Avodas kol chamish, again, repeating, all 15, elu hakraven biyom zeh, it's an interesting language. Right, these are the behemos hakraven biyom zeh. So avodas kol chamish asar behemos elu hakraven biyom zeh, just said it. Eina ela b'koin gadol bilvat. Again, the bilvat is a point of emphasis, meaning it sounds like it's ma'akev. How can it be ma'akev the tzmidim? And even maybe the musafim? Right? Echad koin mashuach shavon ha-mishkam, ruba b'gadim. And then comes the big chiddush, v'im hoysa shabbos, right? Af musaf shabbos, ein makrivos ela koin gadol. Even the Korban Musaf Shabbos requires a Kohen Gadol. That, as some of the Nosah Kalim note, doesn't have a makar. The others, again, you can debate, you know, L'chatchila, B'diyeved, D'Rabbanan, D'Raisa, but, you know, the Psukim, or the Mishnayos, or the Gemaras, right, connect the Kohen Gadol. But there's nothing connecting clearly or explicitly the Kohen Gadol with Musaf Shal Shabbos. Right, that's a coincidence in the calendar. Ein makir vosel lekoin gadol v'chein shar huavodos shel yom zeh kegon haktoras haktoras shel yom v'atavas aneros hakol bekoin gadol nasui shenemar v'kiper ba'ado ba'ad beso beso zu ishto. So two things. Number one, v'chein shar huavodos shel yom zeh. It seems like he treats the ketores shel kol yom and the hatavas haneros differently than he treats the tmidim and the musafim. No, both require a kohen gadol. I'm just saying in the formulation of these, right? Shar avodos shel yom zeh hakol b'kohen gadol. That's different than, you know, einan kraven ela b'kohen gadol bilvad, and they're the first ones that are mentioned. It sounds like the Tmidin and Musafim are part of the Seder HaAvoda, or maybe they integrate into the Seder HaAvoda, right? What about Shabbos, Musaf Shabbos, we'll get to in a second, or maybe that's the bridge, right? And then comes, I would have thought that Akhtaris, Khtaris, Shol, Kol, Yom, and Atavas, Aneros are like Tmidin. Yeah.
And I guess we're part of the same point, but the Rambam doesn't be very focused on the Hemos, not
Hemos. Say again?
Seems to want
But I think it 100%. Yeah, as opposed to other, you know, other 100%. Yeah, but I think it might be for this reason. Right, they're part of a holistic avoda. You know, these other things don't have that kind of hakol b'koin gadol nasui. That's also fascinating. The Rambam doesn't say. Well, he does say. I mean, shenemar b'chiper bado ba'ad beso beso zu ishto. But this is a very kind of short. You would expect it that the Rambam first would introduce the requirement of Kohen Gadol Nasui, maybe in the context of Vidui, right? And then he would say what it applies to. Instead, Hakol B'Kohen Gadol Nasui, right? It's like a little bit, comes up short, a little bit. So the impression, again, that you get is that Kohen Gadol Nasui isn't just a technical requirement for Vidui, but that Kohen Gadol Nasui is a shear in the Gabra Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur at least, and it also sounds like the Rambam, we'll speak more about this, that the requirement of Kohen Gadol Nasui applies to everything that we've been talking about. Not just right to the parts, right, of the chiper bado bad beso, the requirements that require bidui, or even the particular. That's what everyone say about the need for Kohen Gadol in Tmidin, in Musafim, and everything we've been discussing, right? You could have said that the Kohen Gadol Nasui part, even if it's Ma'akev, right, even if it's more than just a din in the vidui, but it still could be limited to the karbanos for which there is this vidui, namely the par in particular, parakatos Hashem lo. Again, the way he presents it is, you know, it's koin gadol nasui, it's a shir in the gavra, and then you have the proof text, the pasuk. But the implication is that that is just a detail in kuhuna gadola for this day. Okay. And then you have after that the pre-show, which is the first Mishnah. Okay. So, I'm going to have to stop. But let's zero in for a couple of minutes on all of this. So, like, where does Rambam get this idea that the Tmidim and all, it sounds like it's Ma'akev, right? And Ela B'Kohen Gadol B'Vav. Unless maybe he's not saying it's Ma'akev, the Tmidim, but it's a, you know, Chiyuv Gamor. Hard to know. If it's Ma'akev, the Tmidim, the Musafim, the other thing, it's a bigger Kiddush. Sounds like it is. Ain't an elabit kohen gadol b'vav. I guess you could make the argument, you want to be Mekayim, Hichos Tmidim, and Musafim, you know, that's fine. But if you want to be Mekayim, the Tamid, Legabe, you know, Hichos Abadus Yom Kippurim, if there is such a thing, probably such a thing, you know, then it's only kohen gadol b'vav. Okay. It almost seems like it's the first, and that, you know, you mess up either the order or because it's a chalos avoda, you know, therefore you need the Kohen Gadol. Definitely it's a very strong formulation, the way the Rambam presents everything, but especially by beginning with the Tmidin and Musafin and then saying that, so you get the impression that he is like all in on this idea. There's a certain level of confidence on this idea. Otherwise, it would have been, oh, you need a Kohen Gadol because, you know, Dinkei Laban. You also need it for the Tmidim. You also need it for the Rambam. It's exactly the opposite. Okay. So where does that come from? So the Rav thought that, again, in that Kodesh Savon Yom Kippurim, that, oh, because there's Chamesh Tvilos, Asara Kiddushin, they include back and forth, you know, between Big Day Zav and Big Day Laban, including the Tmidim and the Musafin, and everything else, so including the Ketoras, frankly, and the Menorah. So for it to be Chamesh Tfilos and Asa Kedushin, right, you have to assume that it's all one integrated process, and therefore that requires the Kohen Gadol. Which makes sense. Of course, that doesn't explain necessarily Musafin of Shabbos. Right? Unless you say, well, you're going to do it during that period, so it's still integrated willy-nilly. Okay. What is this? What is going on in the Rambam? So the Musafim is a great little kind of window into it. So I had you look at the Or Sameach. What does the Or Sameach say?
It's that Gemara in Zvachim.
It quotes the Gemara in Zvachim. Which Gemara in Zvachim?
It's Adi
Aleph Amidah.
Yeah.
So what does it say there?
To, you know, Musi, you know, to me, the Shabbos, like, it says by a few things.
Yeah.
When you have, like, two different days
into,
at the same time.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop in a minute. So basically, he quotes the Gemara that says, are the Tmidim of Rosh Chodesh, right, or Shabbos, not the Tmidim of Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh? You know what's the Gemara talking about there?
Initially?
Yeah.
But Shabbos and Rosh Kodesh.
Regarding what?
If it's
Tadar and Mekudesh. Yeah, excellent. So the question there is like, you know, what comes first? So the Gemara is trying to prove back and forth. So when they quote Tmidim, the assumption is that it's Tadar, but it's not Mekudesh. And the Gemara there says that's not true because it's Tadir, you know, and Mekudash. Oh. So the Or Sameach, again, it's a very famous Gemara that impressed a lot of people. The Or Sameach basically said, and it says something similar in a different context, basically says that is the pshat, or the makar, for the Rambam. That Musaf Shabbos requires a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur because of that Gemara. Meaning he clearly understood that that Gemara applies broadly, not just to the cases that specifically speaks about, and that it has consequences not only for Mekudash, but for other characteristic requirements as well. So if you need Kohen Gadol for Avodas Yom Kippurim, and the Tamid of Yom Kippur is a Tamid of Yom Kippur, right? Then, and the Musaf, again, he's not trying to explain Tamid, he's trying to explain Musaf Shabbos. What he's saying is, even the Musaf of Shabbos Yom Kippur is Musafim of Yom Kippur. Right? And therefore, basically, you have this halach. If you look at the Gemara there, I'm not going to do this right now, I'll have to finish with this tomorrow, but the Gemara in Sadi Aleph there, you'll see there are a few cases, not so pashut, that you apply this all the time. But clearly what the Or Sameach was trying to say was that the convergence of two different kedushos is always, you know, a chalos. He's universalizing this idea, as others did, based on the Gemara in Tzvachim and based on some other Gemaras. Other important point to the fact that the Gemara in Bamei Matlikin, where the Gemara talks about, I have that in Mar Makabos as well, whether or not you say your Mazkir, Shabbos, and Ne'ilah. Right? Because Ne'ilah obviously has nothing to do with Shabbos, it's a Yom Kippur prayer. You could say Mincha, and Shacharis, and Ma'ariv, you know, are Shabbos and it's Yom Kippur. So of course you have to be Mazkir Shal Shabbos. But Ne'ilah, not a prayer that you say on Shabbos, so why should you have to be Mazkir Shabbos? The answer is, they think. You know, the same idea, that these convergences create a spiritual, what I call juggernaut. They're more than the sum of their parts. They're not just a coincidence. They integrate, they hyphenate, whatever you want to call them, into something else. Question is, what is the nature of that hyphenation or whatever it is, that convergence? And the other question is it clear that you will always say it? All the cases that we have it, you know, I could make an argument, I'll do this, I guess, tomorrow, quickly, that you know, that it's limited. And maybe there's a good reason. Maybe there's a good reason to say this about Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Maybe there's a good reason to say it about Tumid in anything, because Tumid is never, it is a coincidence, but it's also, you know, a ubiquitous, so maybe it isn't coincidence. Right? There's something which is ubiquitous, even if it's, you know, independent, you know, could be perhaps more integratable than a coincidence of the calendar. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh maybe have a certain juggernaut potential. Shabbos and Yom Kippur maybe have a certain juggernaut potential. I think Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh have a certain juggernaut, you know, potential. Okay. I know you could say about anything, but what I'm trying to say is you might be able to justify it in anything, but for sure there are things that are more compelling and things that are less compelling to say it about. But clearly that's what the Or Sameach understood. The Or Sameach, you know, says that that's the pshat in this Rambam, and he says that's also the reason why if you have Kiddush, if you have a question whether it be a Cholam Mesukan should make Kiddush on Yom Kippur, Shekholiyos B'Shabbos, right, which is a debate among the poskim, right, there's a debate whether or not a Cholam Mesukan who has to eat should make Kiddush on Yom Kippur, even when it's not Shabbos. But there are those, like Kaveger, who suggest that maybe Shemichalik between Kiddush of Shabbos and Kiddush of Yom Tov, so when they coincide, maybe you would. And the Or Sameach says, no, in my opinion, you never would. You never would. Because even though it's Shabbos, but it's Shabbos Yom Kippur. Right? You have this convergence. So for the very same reason, again, he doesn't mention the Ne'ilah, but same idea. Right, for the very same reason, you would say that the Kohen Gadol, but it's part of the Musafim, it's Musaf Shabbos Yom Kippur. But as I say, I'm not so sure. So I'd like to suggest three other possibilities. I don't know the answer. I'm just throwing them out. One is that this is a special din in Shabbos and Yom Kippur, not a broader idea. It gives you the same effect as what the Orson Map is saying. Secondly, that it may be a din in Musaf Shabbos in particular. We'll talk about that for a minute. That's a much bigger topic. Maybe Musafim of Shabbos are different than Musafim of Adi Yom Tovim. And they're particularly amenable to being integrated with the Tumid, at least. But thirdly, or fourthly, I'm not sure what I'm up to, the possibility that basically we're not talking about the convergence of Shabbos and Yom Kippur, at least not here. But what we're really talking about, again, is the day of the Kohen Gadol, the role of the Kohen Gadol. In the end of the day, this is not Trumas HaDeshen. So even if it's not a chalos part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, it still is an avoda shenase biyom b'kedushas hayom zeh shel Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, maybe according to the Rambam, and then again, maybe that's a transition. V'imayis haShabbos afkus haShabbos ein makar v'osel l'kohen gadol v'chein sharo avodo shel yom zeh, right, the ketores and the atavas haneros. Maybe ketores and atavas haneros really are generic things. It's not that they are like the 15 behemos karbonos integrated into avodas hayom. But there's still a dinim of Kohen Gadol. Maybe not Einon Ela B'Kohen Gadol Bilvad, but there's still Hakol. How does it go? Hakol B'Kohen Gadol. Okay? So that's what I want to pursue tomorrow. Speak about that a little bit. And I still have to get to, I want to speak about Tosa, about Shchita. And Lechem HaPanim that the Orson Mat speaks about. I want to speak about Shchita that the Bali Tosa speak about a little bit more. And then I want to turn our attention to Nasui, just for a couple of minutes, Kohen Gadol Nasui, and then to the Karbonos of the Kohen Gadol, the Isle and the Par. And then we'll see if we can do more, something, you know, about the Minui Kohen Gadol and some other aspects of how that relates to Yom Kippur. Okay? So tomorrow is at, what do we say, 1 o'clock? Yeah. And then Sunday we're going to try for 12. And then after that you can put it on the list. But that doesn't mean we won't do it.